Hello, and welcome to the Luke Miller Podcast again. And we are continuing on in our journey through what it looks like for wisdom and what biblical wisdom looks like. One of the key things about Proverbs is that it is very much about day-to-day living. How do we continually go about our day and live a good life? And it covers a lot of areas, from how to be a good neighbor, how to use your money wisely, what biblical friendship looks like, and even social justice issues. And it's important for us to take a look at this because, again, this is a guide for everyday living. Now, what's also interesting in this is that as you look at other Near Eastern wisdom literature, specifically from the Egyptians, but also from the Hittites and neighbors of Israel, you see that this type of literature is a common trend. There's usually a guide in some way, shape, or form that talks about how to live a proper life and be a good part of the society in which you live in. With the Hittites, you see something, and you've probably heard of this or may have heard of this, called the Laws of Hammurabi, which is very, very similar to what we read in Proverbs. Likewise, we see this with Egyptian wisdom literature, and you can line up certain proverbs, and you can see that they are almost identical, from Laws of Hammurabi to Egyptian wisdom literature to wisdom in the book of Proverbs. But this is also a good thing to look at. Often we say, okay, well, there's other laws similar to this in outside of biblical texts. How do we deal with this? And why is it important for us to deal with this? And should we even engage with understanding that there is other wisdom literature similar to the Bible in Egypt or in the Hittite Empire or whatever culture it may be? For us, I liken it to Bible translations. And if we take our English Bible translations and we lined up three different Bibles together or had a parallel Bible, you can come across different passages where you see that they are very similar, yet there are small differences. And out of those small differences, when you're looking at English Bibles, that is, in English translations of Bibles, is you're able to actually kind of get a bit of a picture into where the Bible translators actually wrestled with some words or issues because of the words they used and them using different words and or phrases. And that's the same way with wisdom literature, except from a theological standpoint. Now, Proverbs is not overtly theological, except it points to the fear of God being the root of wisdom in so many ways. And that's a key standout point that we need to be able to acknowledge, is that although there are similarities between them, the root and where the wisdom comes from is the very key point of the book of Proverbs. And the fear of the Lord, and understanding the fear of the Lord, and understanding that wisdom comes with fearing God. And so it's good for us to know that, you know, yes, we see other types of wisdom literature, and yes, it is all right for us to line them up side by side. In fact, it's a great exercise that I do when I'm teaching wisdom literature in seminaries or in Bible colleges, because I like us to be able to pick out the distinctions between the Bible and other cultures, because we need to be doing this in our everyday life, right? As we read scripture and we hear other people talking about things similar yet different, it's very easy we want to get in the mindset that we are able to say, but this is what the Word of God says. And this is, even though what we're talking about may sound similar, there is a clear distinction in what the Word of God says. And that's with Proverbs alike. And so we've been, you know, I've already started, and that wasn't even what I was going to talk about today, but that's my lengthy beginning tangent, I guess. But we've been talking about biblical wisdom. And last week we started in on this picture of what does biblical friendship look like, right? And what does biblical friendship not look like? Not looking like, you know, friends that are friendship that we have with people that is almost self-destructive, that is harmful to us, whether it's selfishness, or someone who will use you, or someone who will gossip about you, or someone who will lead you astray. There's that harmful component. Yet there's the positive component of it as well, which we talked about, what a loving friend looks like, what a consistent friend looks like, and a forgiving friend looks like. And lastly, we took a look at, you know, a faithful friend is one who doesn't share, you know, your secrets with others. Almost the awesome to, or opposite to the gossip and what we've talked about. And so I want to continue along these lines as far as what it means for biblical friendship in our lives and why it's so important to have biblical friendship in our lives. And one of the things that I think is very close is this idea of sharpening each other. A true friend is one who helps you become who God has made you to be. And in Proverbs 27:17 is an often quoted passage of scripture. It just says, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. And there's another quote out there, not a biblical quote, but there's a quote out there that says, a friend is one who knows you as you are, understands where you have been, accepts who you've become, and still gently invites you to grow. And I think that's important for us, is we need friends who are willing to sharpen us by giving us advice, by giving us counsel, by giving us correction. And we look a little earlier in the 27th chapter of Proverbs, just before the iron sharpens iron passage, and we see in 27:9, perfume and incense bring joy to the heart, and the pleasantness of one's friend springs from his earnest counsel. All right, so it's talking about and comparing the joy in your heart to one of a friend who gives you earnest counsel. And I think it's important, right? We need balance in our lives. And I would think that we need friends who are resourceful and important because they sharpened us. And they sharpen us. And it's also important that we are also trainable, right? To a lesser extent, it's the, you know, we want people whom we can sharpen as well, right? And so this isn't just a friend who is doing, helping correct me, helping teach me. It's me being able to do that as well. This goes back to this idea in the New Testament, I firmly believe, of disciples making disciples. How many churches out there do you see that statement? But what does that actually mean to us? If we follow biblical wisdom, it means each and every one of us is not only acting as a disciple, but we're also actively being discipled. And so it's important for us to understand this and take a look at biblical friendship as a way which is also very much a disciple relationship. And it goes beyond just correcting and training and helping each other out, right? A faithful friend is a person who is aware of the needs of others, right? They know when to give space. They know when to offer grace. Proverbs 25:17 says, seldom set foot in your neighbor's house. Too much of you and he will hate you. And I mean, it's pretty strong, right? That means that we shouldn't spend every waking moment with our friends or they'll get tired of us. Familiarity can breed contempt, it even says, right? But it's meant to be sensitive to where we are in our context and sometimes needing space. I remember as a kid, my grandma always would say, especially if we were throwing a bit of a tantrum, or didn't get what we want and we're throwing a bit of a fit. I remember my grandma, if she was babysitting us, if we started to cry because we were angry at something and thought that crying would get us what we need, she would always just say, oh, it's okay. You know, sometimes little boys just need a good cry. And it used to drive me crazy. But, and then she'd just walk away and, you know, and it, in her mind, this was Asa just being sensitive to where we were, right? Okay, you can have your time, and I'm not going to pester you with this. This is where you are. And I think that's an important thing for us to realize in our friendships as well, is being sensitive to where they are, when they need us to come alongside them, when they need real correction, when they need compassion. And again, biblical friendship points us to being sensitive to this. And really, the last kind of component that we see in Proverbs, and a lot of this you'll notice is taking place in these middle chapters, 25, 27, 28 is where we've taken most of our verses from in this, which has a lot of great stuff about friendship. And I've been trying to hone in on these chapters so it can paint that tapestry. And again, remember, we can't just take one passage on one thing in Proverbs and get a full picture. We need to take a look at all sorts of different verses and be willing to paint that tapestry of what God is talking about. In this case, we've been doing it with biblical friendship, right? And so using this even as an example, we've taken a topic, friends, right? And I've said one of the key things that we want to do is to be able to look at the cross-references, if you've got a cross-reference Bible, and see where your cross-references lead you throughout the book of Proverbs. Once you start looking at one, it points you to another or two and continues on. But if we take friendship as a topic, we've looked at what friends are not. Like Proverbs has said, what friends are not. It's told us that what friends are of loving and consistent and forgiving and confidential and willing to sharpen one another and being sensitive to who we are. And lastly, honest, right? Like this is a very beautiful tapestry that has been woven here for us. And when we take a look at friendship. So we find ourselves really coming to the end of this topic and we arrive at honesty, right? A faithful friend is not afraid to tell the truth when we need to hear it. And telling the truth, this truth-telling is a good thing. It's delivered in the right spirit. It's delivered in the right attitude. Proverbs 27, 5, 6, better is open rebuke than hidden love. And so it's very, it goes on even further. It says, wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses, right? And so even if the truth is hard to hear coming from a friend, it's one that can be beneficial. In the next chapter, 28, 23, he who rebukes a man will in the end gain more favor than he who has a flattering tongue. And this is something that we've previously talked about is a theme that also shows up with words in Proverbs is flattery, right? Giving a false sense of hope or creating an ego out of something that's not there. And here we see that he who rebukes a man will in the end gain more favor than he who has a flattering tongue. It's his ability to be able to speak truth into people's lives, but speak truth into people's lives the right way. It's so easy for us to not do that, right? And God doesn't want, at the end of the day, what we see is that God wants us to focus on those friendships that are not going to be fatal to us. He wants us to have those friendships that are rather going to be ones that will grow, that will make us stronger, friendships that can be cultivated and maintained in order to help them last. And it includes all of those different topics that we've been talking about. As we finish here, we see that Proverbs 18:24 says, a man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. It's the same word that's used in Daniel chapter 2, verse 40, where we read of the legs of Nebuchadnezzar's image being destroyed and ground into powder. Right, the teaching in the first part of the verse is that there's a limitation to all human relationships. A person with many companions or a few close friends can still be broken into pieces and blows of life, right? And that's where that ruin comes from. Come to ruin means literally to break into pieces by a blow and by a hit, right? And again, it's where we're looking for happiness. And this is what this brings us back around to, again, the difference that we see in literature from the ancient Near East, Egyptian, Hittite, Ugaritic, whatever it may be, and how we're actually able to see that there's a difference in biblical scripture, or sorry, biblical wisdom, as opposed to others. Here it's pointing to the fact that friendships, no matter how good they may be, like all friendships can come to a blow, yet there's one that's not. And that is fearing of God. It comes back to the root of wisdom and fear of the Lord and that relationship that will not come to ruin, which is the one between you and God. And so again, here we see, even in just the smallest pieces, this ability for us to see there's a difference between biblical wisdom and the wisdom we're being given here about friendship and other ancient Near Eastern wisdom. And then, you know, maybe next week I might even just talk a little bit more about some of these ancient Near Eastern pieces of wisdom literature. And I can give some examples and how we can actually see how the biblical writers take what may be conventional wisdom and turn and see that it's godly wisdom. And we'll see the distinct difference between the Bible and Israel's neighbors. I find it fascinating. I hope you would too. But I think the one that at the end of the day, we need to acknowledge that we need a forever friend, one who will never leave us, one who will never forsake us, right? And the passage here is declaring that Jesus sticks closer than any other friend or family member out there. The word sticks literally means to cleave or to adhere. It refers to soldering or to joining two metals together. When we put our faith and our trust in Jesus, we're really welding to him forever and nothing can separate us. Charles Spurgeon once said, he would be happy here must have friends, and he would be happy hereafter must above all things find a friend in the world to come. As Spurgeon points to Jesus. And that's what we're really wanting to acknowledge here, is the biblical, true biblical friendship at its root, at its core, can only come through Jesus Christ, in the sense of he will never leave you and he will never forsake you. But that does not stop us in wanting to pursue, nor should it pursue, friendships that help us grow, help us grow stronger, help us be sharpened. So I hope you've enjoyed getting just this picture of biblical wisdom as far as biblical friendship goes. As we continue on next week, we'll continue through Proverbs and look at how Proverbs approaches family, biblical family. And I'm looking forward to that as well. There's a whole bunch of topics. We could spend a lot of time in this book, but to be honest, you don't get a lot of sermons in the book of Proverbs because it's a lot of bouncing around. So for us to be able to take this time and focus on different themes, hopefully you're enjoying it and hopefully it's allowing you to grow in wisdom as well. I know it's helping me as I've been studying for this and as I prepare this. So I'm enjoying it. I hope you are too. But let me pray and then we'll finish for today. God, I just thank you for today. I thank you for the biblical friendships that we have in our life. But more than anything, God, I just thank you for the biblical friendship that we have in you, that relationship we have of you, because you sent your son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for us. And we are forever thankful for that, of knowing that you will never leave us, that you will never forsake us, and that you are there for us. And so we just thank you that when we look at biblical friendship, God, we see you as this perfect example of what it should be. And so we thank you for who you are. We thank you for what you've done for us. And we just pray these things all in your amazing and holy name. Amen. Thanks so much for joining me this week. And I'm looking forward to next week as we continue in the world of biblical wisdom and the book of Proverbs. Take care. Have a great week.